back to the Simply His Coffee Shop. Today, we are in part two of our Easter, or should I call it Resurrection Day show. If you missed last week, please go back and watch. It was a very eye-opening discussion. Today, we are continuing that discussion, but we'll focus on some alternatives that you and your family can do in place of some of the more traditional Easter events. So let's get right into it, because this one will be fun, because there's so many ideas that you can do in place of Easter. Again, calling it maybe Resurrection Sunday or Resurrection Weekend, something like that. But there's so many fun things that you can do in place of your more traditional Easter events. What are some that you like to do, Charisse?
Well, I'm hearing this for the first time, and you know, it to me, I'm thinking, I've got a whole bunch of decorations in the basement that always come out at this time of year. Mm. And my husband's going to be very happy because he hates the creepy bunny.
He hates that rabbit.
You can imagine what it looks like.
So he might get some Tannerite in the shotgun. You never know.
Put him in his place.
Or shoot the wabbit. I mean, we don't do ham anyway. We, you know, traditionally have never done ham. We do prime rib at my dad's.
Gotcha.
We always get together with my daddy and do, you know, just a big family meal. Yeah, but there have been historically eggs and stuff there now, so it's in. I'm just like, what do I do with this?
Right.
You know, trying to figure out, because you've done stuff for your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your parents have done that. Their whole, it's just something that you never heard.
Mm-hmm. Well, you'd never been taught to question it.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, if you go into Easter or Resurrection Day and you say, I do not want to worship Baal and Ashtaroth, Ashtart, Ostara, Easter, Ishtar, this person on this day, I don't want to worship Satan, basically and indirectly. I want my Resurrection Sunday to be holy. Like Nita was saying last week, you can still have a sunrise service. Because even though the rising of the sun was a nod back to Baal's power, there were the women that got up on the day of the Lord's resurrection.
Early.
And so it was, that is a nod back to that.
Yes.
But the rest of Easter practices are the ones that I find questionable.
Yeah.
The eggs, there is no biblical reason. The bunnies, there's just no biblical justification for why we would do that. And it's Jesus's resurrection day. Why would we bring in iconography and symbology that reflects something pagan but does not in any way, shape, or form reflect what Christ actually did?
Like,
disconnect. Put away the pagan thing for just a moment. Let's say that our obsession on Easter Sunday was to wear brown. Why? Why are we doing that? If it doesn't essentially worship the Lord in some way, why don't we find something that does?
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And if what we're doing really is pagan, which last week we went very deeply into why that's true, how that's true.
Go back and listen.
Yeah. Then what we're doing is not only worthless, it's worse than worthless. It's prohibited and we're doing it anyway.
Yeah.
So alternative ideas. When my family decided not to do the Easter egg hunt anymore, the first thing we did was we sat the kids down and we explained to the kids, this is what Easter is. This is why we are deciding we're no longer going to be a part of it. Do not go to your church and tell your friends, you shouldn't be doing this Easter egg hunt. It's evil. Because that is the wrong, they've never
wrong
heard
spirit.
This before. And it took me 2 years. And I was in the Bible every day during that. It took me a long time to really understand how bad this was. The last thing you need to do is go into church and start preaching at everybody and telling them why it's wrong and why they're doing this pagan thing. They're not going to get it. Let this be a gentle introduction of the idea. Meanwhile, what we will do is we'll go to church, and if you want a piece of candy, Mama will buy you a piece of candy at Walmart afterwards. But when it comes time for the Easter egg hunt, that's when we're going to tell the people who are asking us why we're not participating, we want to get to the restaurants and beat everybody else. And we're just, if somebody wants to actually ask, I will let them know, but it's going to be a private Sure. Type conversation. And we're going to be very blatant. We're going to be very bold in letting people know why we don't do this. But the last thing we're going to do is a congregation, come to me. Spirit. We're going to pray over you that the Lord will anoint you and turn you from your evil ways. Okay, go find an egg.
Right.
So that's just not the right attitude to have.
Yes.
Yeah. What we decided to do was we would take little Bible verses that were in relation to the resurrection or Resurrection Day, mm-hmm. and we would roll them up and tie them up like a little scroll,
uh-huh.
and we would hide those and have a scavenger hunt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
And this is in no way related to the Weeping of Tammuz.
Right.
So it's, but it's in a lot of ways very similar to what our culture wants to do on that
yeah.
day.
Yeah.
So there are alternatives.
I can remember you said, you know, we're talking about resurrection. We have always, with our kids, focused Easter on resurrection.
Yeah.
And I even remember with Prims sitting down with them. They're called resurrection eggs.
Oh,
and there's,
yeah,
yes, I remember
the eggs. Mm-hmm. And you go through the Passover and the whole story, his death and the resurrection. Right. And it all goes through these little symbols, the mm-hmm. tangible little plastic something or a piece of cloth or whatever in the egg. Mm-hmm. And we did that with our kids every single year. Mm-hmm. So now it's, you know, it's, my mind is just a little like, it's hard to, it's broke.
So instead of putting them in an egg, maybe put them in like a little treasure box or something.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
just, again, there's so many things that just a little tiny tweak can tweak it just enough so that you can still do some of those traditions.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have the same ramifications of, oh, it's an egg, which that goes back to Ishtar. Because, again, eggs have nothing to do with Christ raising from the dead.
Right.
So put them in a little treasure box or something like that. Again, so many things can just be tweaked. The
cultural shift.
Just a little tiny bit.
Yeah.
And then you can still have fun. You can still do your outreaches. There's so many things that you can still
do.
Oh,
for sure. Yeah. Sarah, you're a young mom.
Yeah.
So now what are you going to do with this information? With littles.
So
on the spot.
Right.
Okay, fess up.
So surprisingly enough, my husband and I, when we had our first daughter, we never actually really did the whole Easter thing. We instead focused it more on spring and flowers and, you know, the warm weather coming in. And that was mostly because, one, she was really young and we didn't want to deal with the mess of Easter eggs and dying Easter eggs.
That gets
and
messy.
Just all the mess.
Little people.
Yes. So instead of doing Easter eggs and like dyeing them or doing a scavenger hunt with her, we did jelly beans. I don't know if anybody else has heard of this. I absolutely love this trick. But the night before Easter, we take jelly beans. At the time, we had like a little planter area, but we've also done it in like a little potted plant. We go and plant the jelly beans, and then the next morning, we would have lollipops in them instead of the jelly beans. The jelly beans sprouted into lollipops. So that's kind of what we did instead of the Easter egg deal. And then we always did, instead of Easter baskets, mm-hmm. we did spring baskets.
Yeah.
And we always did like rain boots or umbrellas. Mm-hmm. We always had warmer clothes for the warmer weather or like pool stuff or whenever the warmer weather comes in.
Sidewalk chalk.
Yeah. Sidewalk chalk. Stuff. Bubbles. Bubbles are always a big hit in my house.
Yeah. Mine too.
But we always made sure that it was always spring and never Easter. And that was even before like we came back to God and really got back into religion and everything like that. Just God works his way. And it was always, you know, it was never Easter for us. It was always, you know, spring flowers, warm weather coming in. And we still continue that now. Now with our outside family, of course, they still celebrate Easter, and do all of that. And so it's a little bit convicting because especially since my kids are younger, I mean, my oldest is 4.
Right.
Yeah.
It's very hard for them to understand why we don't necessarily dye the eggs anymore. And why does our cousins get to do it, but we mm-hmm. don't necessarily get to do it. And it's hard as a mom being like, well, you know, because there's a part of me that's like, oh, go ahead. But there's the other part that's like, I know what it's about now.
Yeah.
And I'm not necessarily okay with that.
Right. Exactly.
So, and it's still a little bit of a struggle. We kind of just, you know, oh, we're going to go do this or we're going to go play outside while, you know, the cousins are dyeing eggs or that kind of stuff. We try to center and distract them a little bit more. And of course, when they get older, we'll let them know and inform them of why we've made this decision. Yeah. Sure. And hopefully they can pass that on.
Well, and it's always important to do age-appropriate communication, yes. You know, because when they are little, like 4 and 5, they don't always grasp the concept of, well, why can't I do it?
Well, you see, there was this person named Ishtar.
They're going to look at you like a villain
put on speakerphone.
But this very question, okay, this is why there are some people listening to this week's episodes and thinking, well, gosh, what do I do? Right. My community, I'm talking about pastors, preachers, mm-hmm. teachers, they're thinking my community is going to be expecting the Easter egg hunt. Mm-hmm. What in the world do I do? I still want to reach out to my community. I still want to be a place where these people can go on Sunday morning because that's the part of their culture they grew up with. It's endearing to them. They don't know the background, right. And they're going to want that when they come here. What do we do? What do we do?
Yeah, and okay. A lot of them, it's the first, you know, they're the Easter Christians and the Christmas Christians. They only go to church twice
right.
a year.
Right.
So this is a big deal in a
yes.
lot of congregations.
Right. What I would suggest is your whole sermon that morning doesn't need to be about Ishtar, but make a short bullet list yeah. with 3 or 4 of the main, here's where Easter eggs come from, here's where the ham comes from, here's where the hot cross buns come from, and all of it actually does relate to the ancient Babylonian cult of Ishtar and Baal. And then once you've let them know what that is, let your sermon at some point wrap up with why you guys are going to do something different in your church that day. So that the people that are coming actually have a reason and an understanding before the end of service as to why they're doing an alternative idea. Yeah. Even if an unbeliever were to wander into a church mm-hmm. on that day, I think that they would be able to look at that, love that, and respect that, and go, mm-hmm. wow, these people take their worship of Jesus pretty
yes.
seriously.
Right. Yeah. Good
yeah.
thought.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, for sure. Good thought.
We do have to take a really quick break. We'll be right back.
Are you one of those girls that struggle trying to find the right clothes to wear? Or maybe you're still grappling to achieve that perfect makeup look that suits your style? Well, blossom into a new you this spring season with the Simply His Spring Bundle and receive Candace Cameron Bure's book, Staying Stylish. Discover new ideas to elevate your personal style and closet without breaking the bank. Insider secrets for gorgeous skin, hair, and makeup with easy-to-follow tutorials. Find on-the-go strategies for staying fit and eating well, and personal inspiration for nurturing your faith and finding balance, plus so much more. Start that spring cleaning with a boost from our fairly traded, certified organic, lightly roasted Island Girl coffee. This Costa Rican coffee was named by our wonderful Simply His host, Catherine, who says one sip of this coffee has her stepping back in time to her childhood growing up on the islands as a missionary kid. Also included in this package is another one of our host's favorite picks, our Simply His ceramic mug in a beautiful spring shade of purple. And lastly, enjoy a warm spring day with the new Simply His Southern Peach Tea. This fully organic, herbicide and pesticide-free loose-leaf tea is a refreshing cup of happiness and is sure to have you relaxing while you watch those gorgeous gardens grow. The Simply His Spring Bundle is available now. With a retail value of over $50, yours now for only $40 plus shipping and handling? Get yours today at skywatchtvstore.com or call 844-750-4985. Don't miss out!
We are continuing our discussion on ideas that you can do for alternatives for Easter / maybe focus it more on the resurrection of Jesus. And with all this discussion, you know, it's been brought up, what do you do about if you do decide you don't want to celebrate Easter, but you still have family that celebrates Easter? How do we tackle that? Because again, none of us up here want to beat anybody else down, you know.
Yeah. Right.
That's not God's love. That's not showing Christ-likeness. But we do have a conviction, and Joe and I have had to deal with this even with, you know, raising our own kids. Where's that line of deciding, okay, for me and my house,
right.
we choose to serve the Lord, and this is one of the lines in the sand that we can't look past. Mm-hmm. We just can't participate. but we still love our family that might want to still do it, and we don't want it to become
create division.
The drama,
yes, the
yeah.
drama, the yeah. division. We don't yeah. want to do that. So where is that line, and how do you then approach your family and say, hey, we don't personally want to partake in this or participate, but we're not telling you you can't. How do you deal with that?
Mm-hmm. I know with me and my family, it was hard at first, because they didn't quite understand. Once again, my family is non-Christian. They don't really celebrate mm-hmm. all of that. We do Easter, but it's more like everybody celebrates Easter in a sense.
Yeah,
so,
because it's a national holiday,
yeah,
basically.
So why not? Let's do it. And they used it as an excuse to get together for family as well. But it was hard. I think, one, you need to remember where you stand and continue mm-hmm. enforcing that on you. As yeah. well in your family. Don't back down from it. No, this is what we believe. You know, we yeah. appreciate that. We respect that, you know, you're going to continue to do this. We're not going to cause the drama or the division. We're still going to love you. We're still going to show up. We're just not going to participate in some of these things. I think it's also a compromise situation as well, give and take. Mm-hmm. I know, like, with my family, we do the Easter ham. I'm still going to eat the Easter ham. One, I'm usually very hangry by the time I go over. And two, like, it's a give and take. Like, that's what they cooked. They spent all day preparing it. I'm not convicted about eating the ham with my family. But I think it's a give and take situation as well. Stand your ground in what you believe and stand for your family. But also don't, you know, completely divide your family as well from your extended family.
The word says that we are in the world, but not of the world.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And if you are a true Christian that follows the true Christ-given, Holy Spirit-given mm-hmm. directives for how your life is supposed to go, then choosing not to celebrate Easter, if that's the decision that you make, isn't any different from deciding not to participate in any other given yeah, thing that the right. world around you does that you find mm-hmm. to be offensive to God.
Right.
So, yeah, is it uncomfortable? It could be. I know for James and I, it was uncomfortable for us in the beginning.
Right.
We went to some members of our family and said, I am so sorry to say this, but we've got Easter coming up, and this is a decision we've made.
Right.
If you want to know the reasons why, we'll tell you the reasons why, but we feel really convicted about this, and we can't do it anymore.
Right.
And we were actually given the platform in which to share the story and why we were convicted about it.
Right.
And we did have some heckling and some teasing, and of course they reacted in the beginning a lot like I did, mm-hmm. where the first thing they said was, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Come on, uh-huh. it's Resurrection Sunday. We do the Easter egg hunt for Jesus right. and all of this stuff, and it wasn't connecting. But because of the fact that we felt so convicted about it, we were given a really powerful platform in which to witness
yeah.
what
yeah.
the ancient roots of the Babylonian cult was and how that contrasts with who Jesus was and what his Resurrection Day stands for. And what we did, which was uncomfortable in the beginning, actually led to a further enlightenment of how Jesus not only, listen to this, does his day mean something very different from how it's
right.
celebrated
right.
today. It actually came at a time when the weeping of Tammuz or Easter, mm-hmm. he squashed that.
Right.
Yes.
And absolutely,
right.
The fact that he yeah. rose again, yeah. either on the very same day or oh. very near the oh. same day that the world was getting ready to weep for Tammuz, mm-hmm. tells you that he came in and said, not in my town.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Let's
right.
squash this.
Yeah. yeah.
Squash this.
Squash this. So when you're getting ready to go and break the news to your family or your pastor or your church mm-hmm. family, understand that, yeah, it might be uncomfortable and it might be awkward at first, but if you are following what you believe to be the Holy Spirit conviction, I think he'll use that. And I think
Absolutely.
He will use that to do what he did for James and I, which is to further bless the entire community so that everybody comes out of it and goes, can you believe we used to do the Easter thing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we had no idea that we were worshiping Ishtar every
right.
Easter Sunday. Yeah. But now the enlightenment comes in, and what we do now is actually very praiseworthy
right.
of Resurrection Day.
Yeah.
This may be a little out of sequence as to where we are in the conversation, but last week when we were talking and you explained how that the bloods were pretty much just baptized in innocence of baby blood.
Mm-hmm. That's how they were died.
And then they would put them out and do, you know, just as a powerful covering or whatever. It just, I can't let this escape. And that is that the whole thing with Jesus dying and shedding his blood, mm-hmm. you know, there is power in that blood.
Yes, ma'am.
And it covers not just a little field, it covers the entire world.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. And I just want to point that out. I don't know what else to say about that except that the power of the blood, I can't get past that thought, and I had to share that.
Yeah, and the and the power of the blood and what he did, if you look at what was the old covenant versus new covenant, what it did was it took your sins from being covered, but still there.
Right.
Beneath the surface the old covenantal system.
Yeah.
The lamb, the actual animal, small l, lamb, covered. And it completely washes them away forever. Yeah. And they are thrown into the sea of forgetfulness, forgotten and remembered no more. Mm. Like they literally disappear. Your sins are gone. That's the power of the blood.
Amen.
So when whoever, you know, whatever bad guy, Nimrod, Ishtar, Semiramis, that you want to put behind this, when they developed this demonic mirrored system, and then like we said, through the Catholic hierarchy in the very beginning, some of the things that they inaugurated into the early church, we don't even know that's what we're doing every time we do the Easter egg hunt. But here's what bothers me the most. It's on God's property.
Mm-hmm.
It's on his very property.
Right.
Now, we've talked about this before, so I won't go really deep into it. But in the book of Revelation, you have Jesus knocking on the door of the Laodicean church.
Mm. Yeah.
The emphasis of the verse is not that he's knocking on the door of your heart, although that's a very beautiful picture. The emphasis is on the fact that Jesus is no longer in the building.
Right.
And that particular letter appears in the book of Revelation just prior to all the destruction of the apocalypse. Mm-hmm. So if you want to continue to usher into your church and onto God's land the things that you already know to be kind of an evil form of pagan worship, Jesus is going to no longer be in the building. And when he comes to you with that warning, "Won't you let me in?" he's begging to be let back into his house.
Right.
He is begging to be let back in as the master of over his own house that you are carrying about over and over and over again, doing this, doing that, because you're rich and you don't care, and my people will be destroyed for the lack of knowledge. But at the end, oh, honey, at the end, if you don't let him in, that is where he says to the Laodiceans, "You will be spewed out of my mouth. You will hear, depart from me, I never knew you." So it's very convicting.
Sure.
It's very important that we understand, we spread this knowledge, but that we deal with this gently.
Yes.
In love.
And with the leading of the Holy Spirit, because that's, again, we can't convict you, and that's not our job.
No,
that's not what
that
we want to do. That's nothing.
Spirit's pretty big.
Yeah. That is the Holy Spirit's job. So that's why when we say, even with talking to your family, like Donna came to us before Easter even happened and said, "Hey, we have a very strong conviction about this, and we can explain it if you want us to, but if not, just know that we won't be participating." She came in love and respect and in sensitivity, and that's what we need to be doing. You know, we need to do this with the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and he will give you the words. I don't doubt that for a minute, that if you do it in the right spirit, because this is something he is convicting you about, you can do it in love, and you can show respect to your family and your pastors and your church friends and whoever else that you feel like you need to communicate this to. So I think that's just such an important thing, though, to as a takeaway. Yes, there's so many other alternatives that you guys can come up with, and who knows what the Holy Spirit will give you to do in place of this.
Oh, for sure.
And I know with growing up in church, too, especially on the mission field and stuff, we didn't really have Easter eggs. They didn't do eggs really out there. I mean, we had them, but eggs and bacon weren't really a thing, you know, just because you couldn't buy that. So I never really grew up with some of that anyways. So for me, it hasn't been a huge, "Oh, we have to do the Easter egg hunt." Oh, and then especially now it's like, okay, well, we really ain't doing the Easter egg hunts.
Right.
But with our kids and stuff, we had never looked out in the community for all of the Easter egg hunts. Oh, they're doing theirs on this day, they're doing this, and we're going to do this big round. We still had so much candy left over from Christmas and Valentine's Day, we didn't need any more anyways.
Right.
So, I mean, there are so many different things that you can do with your kids. And like you had mentioned, the spring baskets, I started semi doing those with the kids now, and then I'll get get them a new Bible or a devotional as part of their spring basket and do new swimsuits, new towels, new goggles, getting ready for summertime. And the kids have really enjoyed that. Maybe a new Christian CD that they can listen to.
Yeah.
So again, there's so many different things that you can do. Do the scavenger hunts, hide other things in baggies or something. Well, that you can do.
I like the idea of doing things tangible, like I'm sitting here thinking, all ages.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, you can do color books for the little bitty ones and devotionals for the teenagers. What I love about that is they're not cramming a bunch of sugar.
Yes.
They don't need it. And I'm telling
you,
that's been a hard one for Grandpa and I to deal with because we love to do fun little goodies for our... And his mother was known as Grandma Goody, so,
come by it naturally.
Come by it honestly. Having said that, I love what you have instigated or transitioned into in that you're doing all these practical little things. And then, like, the swimsuits and the little...
Yeah.
That gives them something to look forward to.
Oh, for sure.
And every year they get a new one because they grow.
Yeah.
So I love these alternate ideas, and I cannot wait to hear... what we may get responses from the audience.
No, exactly. I was just thinking with Sarah being on our social media, that, you know, it'd be really cool if you go post on one of our TikToks, like when we're teasing the show that's coming out, you know, what are you going to do? You know, what are some alternatives that we've not even thought of?
Absolutely.
It'd be really neat to hear.
I can't wait.
Yeah, me too.
One of my favorite alternatives, though, speaking of different things that you can get besides candy, even though we do give the kids candy, I will admit it.
It's okay.
It's okay.
Yeah, a whole, like...
right. But one of my favorite things that Hunter and I have really started doing now that our kids are getting a bit older is instead of buying huge amounts of, you know, clothes or this or that or knickknacks or toys that they might forget about later on, is we like to buy memories, is what we call them.
Mm-hmm.
So planning a trip to the zoo.
Yeah.
And letting them know on, you know, during their spring baskets or whatever, doing, you know, a new outfit to go to the zoo.
Yeah. There
and,
you go.
You know, just doing the memories. We've been doing that for their birthdays as well. And we really enjoy it. It's something that they get to take away too. And all of the ideas with it, too. There's endless amounts of memories that you can make at different places.
Absolutely.
I feel a zoo trip coming on.
I know, me too.
I'm feeling a zoo trip coming on.
Yeah, we need to do that. But we are all out of time, though. One of the things that I think about when I think of the resurrection, I always immediately also think about communion and when Jesus gave it for the first time at the Last Supper. Mm. So we thought it would be fitting to include it after we talked about the Easter/Resurrection Sunday. So please join us next week as we talk about communion and share with you some fun and happy thoughts we have discovered about communion.
Mm.
See you next week in the Simply His Coffee Shop.